Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you, as always. Got Logan all bundled up. All bundled up in Texas.
Yeah, man.
It's chilly over there, huh?
It's a little nippy.
Do you have a heater in your little area there?
My Santa's workshop?
Yeah.
Heater over my shoulder? I do watch under the desk. I should have turned it on before, but I bought a couple of space heaters with my birthday Amazon gift card from the in-laws.
There you go.
I bought a couple of heaters.
Nice. Yeah, that's the one thing that that my office has going for it is that right there, the wall unit keeps me nice and warm. That and all the sweatshirts and the beanies and everything.
And your long locks of love and your douche beard.
Yeah, all of that, and what is it? It's like 58 degrees in California, and I'm whining about it.
But please,
whatever. I'm delicate, man. I'm delicate, and I'm used to it. We've got John Huber with us from Crowned Heads. John, thanks for taking the time, man.
Thank you. I'm sorry it was a hassle to get on here, but here I am.
It's all right.
The most technologically challenged cigar brand owner in the world, probably.
That is a falsehood because we've dealt with a lot of people, and I get to walk people through how to log in a lot. If you've never used Hangouts or something, it doesn't always work. It's not always easiest.
It's pretty much idiot-proof, I guess, but...
Obviously, it took me, 15 minutes to get to this point. I'm actually doing this on my phone instead of my laptop, because my laptop is basically a paperweight right now at this point, so...
It's anyway. A nice paperweight, though. That'll hold down a lot of paper. That's good.
Yeah.
So how's everything going, man?
Everything's good, man. Everything's real good. Thank you. How was your Thanksgivings?
Mine was great.
Yeah.
We deep fried a turkey.
Nice.
And had the family over. My wife and I host Thanksgiving. We have every year for the last 5 or 6 years, and it was nice. I mean, everybody's outside. It was still sunny, and then it got really cold. We all moved inside.
Yeah.
It was nice. My family, her family, everybody had a good time. Some good food and good beer. How about you?
Mine was good, thank you. Actually, we had two. We had one at my parents, and then we had one at Laura's parents. So ate entirely too much, watched more football than I have all year, and trying to get back in the swing of things at the office today. So it's like, you know, you go from like 4 days of complete and utter relaxation to
700 emails.
Yeah, just whatever. So, but yeah, no, it was good. Thanksgiving was really good. Our first one with our little baby AJ, so that was really special. So
congratulations on that, by the
way. Thank you. Yeah, man, life is very good. Knock on wood. It's good.
That's good. Logan, how was your Thanksgiving?
I gained one metric butt ton of fat in my midsection.
So for Thanksgiving, right, we have a ton. My wife just goes nuts and makes a ton of different things. And she goes out of her way to really stress herself out. So what's your favorite, like, not just the turkey, because, I mean, obviously everybody loves turkey. What's your favorite side that you guys have at Thanksgiving?
We had scallops, and they were delicious.
Scallops?
Yeah, like, we don't do turkeys, because turkey prices go up dramatically around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we don't buy into that around the Lawler household. So we had steaks off of grass-fed Angus steaks off of Dale Lawler Farms, and they were delicious.
Yeah, I imagine you guys don't have a shortage of good red beef.
No, you see that freezer right there?
Chock full.
That's every man's hard on right there.
All right. Not sure what to do with that. John, what about you? I know this is a random question.
My favorite side at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I'd probably say my mother-in-law's noodles or her sweet potatoes with marshmallows or her corn casserole. I mean, it's a bevy.
Or everything.
Like, yeah, pretty much everything, yeah. I mean, it's all good. It's all really good stuff, so.
Yeah, I had never really had sweet potatoes until I met my wife, and she makes – I mean, as far as I know, they're fantastic. Everybody in my family loves them because we never really had them.
You got to put the marshmallows on them. Then you get that crusty kind of like sweet goodness on top and then you get that gooey sweet potato in there. Oh, man, so good.
She does a like this oatmeal, this seasoned oatmeal crispy top thing.
Right?
Too much work.
It's really good. No, she tears it up. And I'll tell you what, and it's too late for this, but next year, when you after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, you take some of the stuffing,
yeah,
whatever kind of stuffing you have, and you put it in the waffle maker. You waffle it the next day. I'm telling you. You waffle it the next day, and then when it's after it's cooked and it's got, like, crispy on the outside, you fry up a couple eggs, put those on top, and then some gravy on top of that, forget about it. It is the best thing. I'm going to make my wife make stuffing, like, in July, just so we can have that for breakfast.
That sounds so bad that it's actually interesting. It might be really good, actually.
Oh, it's phenomenal, man. Yeah. And it depends on the kind of stuffing that you have. My wife makes she makes one, it's like a bread, like a savory bread pudding with corn in it.
Mm-hmm.
We did that and waffled it, and it was phenomenal.
What is this? Is this Cigar Chat or like the Pioneer
I'm
woman?
Just saying, like, we're talking about going it. It's really good.
I could talk food all day. And then my wife made the, of course, pumpkin pie, and then pumpkin cheesecake pie, which is like out of this world. So it's like, oh, man, heaven.
Yeah, that sounds
all good things.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll get back to cigars. But yeah, no, I feel like I gained a few pounds just talking about this
stuff.
So what's new, man? I mean, there's so much going on. I'm actually smoking, I went old school. I'm smoking the Headley Grange, and I still love this freaking cigar, man. Cigars are so good.
I got something to show.
What do you got?
Stand back.
Hold on, stand back. Hold up.
Ooh, I'm going to not show everybody your chin there.
Oh, biscuits.
What are those? Those are all prizes for tonight?
My Adderall was kicking good today, so I prepackaged up a lot of them.
So those are all the prizes that we're
so if you want to win that, you need to stick around for the end of the show.
Yeah. And we're gonna
win a cardboard box.
Yeah. Win an empty. You know what I should do is I should always every week have the one loser prize where I ship an empty cardboard box. Inside of it, I have wadded up piece of paper that's written on it, your hopes and dreams.
Or just a picture of you doing one of these. You know?
That's a great idea. Vistaprint's running a great sale today. I could throw one in.
This make is what you sticker, win.
Make it a sticker.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it'll become like a booby prize. People start selling them on eBay.
I think you might have actually hit something here. That sounds like a pretty good idea.
It just got real. So
it did.
Okay, so John, since we talked to you at IPCPR, La Imperiosa was the big thing at IPCPR. That's what we're giving away, a bunch of those tonight. But you guys have had some other stuff come out since then, so why don't you tell us about it.
Wow, where do I begin? It's been a busy second half of the year for us, actually. I'm trying to think. After La Imperiosa, we did, was it Mason-Dixon, 2015?
No.
Northern and Southern. We did the Jericho Hill Lanceros. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we did the 12 Honest Men, Jericho Hill, Lanceros, 1000 LE. Then we did Mason-Dixon Project, Northern and Southern, two brand new blends for 2015. We just did an exclusive project for Famous Smoke Shop called Black Belt Buckle, which is an extension to Four Kicks. And we are dropping Las Marias this week. And if I left out anything else, that's just because I'm really tired right now. But other than that, yeah, it's been busy.
That's a lot of. So tell me about this. The black belt buckle. Is that what she's called it?
Yeah. Say that five times fast.
Black belt buckle. 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 Black belt buckle.
There you go. There you go.
That was surreal.
Try to say clean boat.
No, that's not. That's not going to happen. We're going to move on. So now is that the same blend? New wrapper. What's the story there?
It's the original Four Kicks binder filler with a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper.
You forgot a cigar, the H-Town Lancero.
Yeah, I forgot H-Town Lancero.
I know your brand better than you do.
Thank you. Probably, yeah. Too much tryptophan from that turkey. It's gone to my head. I'm just kind of slow today. But
H-Town Lancero is the Four Kicks as well, right?
Yeah, in a Lancero. That's the original Four Kicks blend in a Lancero.
Wow. That's a lot of different stuff. And those are all some exclusives, too. Go ahead, Logan.
Why Famous? Because, I mean, I know you've done stuff with us. You've done stuff with, you know, Smaller's the shop that's out in Hawaii. You've done it like, you know, what's the one in, not Riverside, but what's the one other one in Tennessee?
They did Snare Drum.
Yeah, you've done all these like smaller kind of boutique-y shops, but then you do Famous.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Why not? I mean, Padron just did something for them. If Padron can do something for them, then why shouldn't we do something for them? I'm like, come on.
Touche. Hey, I'm just asking, man. Touche. I mean,
I'm just telling you.
Man, we live in America. I live in America.
That's the honest answer.
This is the honest answer, man. You know, I like the duality of, like, some people going, why are you doing this for such and such and this and that? I'm like, open up a Famous catalog or a JR catalog or any of these major catalogs. You'll see Davidoff White Label. You'll see Padron Anniversaries. You'll see the best of the best in there. So why shouldn't we if we were approached?
Absolutely.
America.
Logan, why shouldn't he?
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just asking the question.
Question answered.
The only reason I would say, knowing your personality probably better than most, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you kind of pride yourself on being a rebel and being the small guy, and now you're doing something for a machine.
I'm not saying we're a big guy. I'm still saying we're small. I mean, the numbers that we put up are a fraction of the brands I just mentioned to you.
Okay. Let's have a new question. This didn't turn out very well.
You felt awkward, Logan.
I really did because I was like, I wouldn't try to be a jerk. Like I was just asking the question.
It didn't make for good radio, but I enjoyed that moment. I was being
it made it good for great radio because it was awkward. It was bananas.
I was being a little bit selfish, but I did enjoy that. Okay, now I've got this. So this is a real basic question. From Jason Roebuck or Raybuck, that we've talked about all this stuff before, and I know the answer. But there might be some guys who are tuning in. Maybe this is the first time they've tuned into Cigar Chat, and now the question just disappeared. Where the hell did it go? Okay, so he wants to know what factory your cigar is made at and who blends them.
Our factory, we have worked with two factories: Tabaco de la Alianza, which is in the Dominican Republic under Ernesto Perez Carrillo, and they do four kicks, Hadley Grange, J.D. Howard Reserve, and then of course we work with my father's cigars in Estela de Nicaragua, and you know a myriad of things there. The core brands there: Jericho Hill, La Imperiosa, Las Mareas, Tennessee Waltz, Yellow Rose, the Buckingham Plug. You know, the list goes on. We've done a lot of stuff with the Garcia family. In terms of who blends them, you know, it's a joint effort. I'm not going to tell you that I go down there and I'm like some super secret squirrel guy that knows all these recipes and I blend everything and I'm the guy behind the guy, you know. No, I mean, fortunately, I think I've developed a decent palate and I know what I'm looking for in a particular project, but in terms of the blending, I mean, you know, that's all the people at the factories. And if anybody in this business tells you otherwise, they're bullshit. I can't swear yet, right?
It's all right. We'll take care of it.
Okay.
Let's just mark it down here. Basically, we got Canadian.
They are telling you a lie. If, you know, all these guys that proclaim that they are a master blender or this, that, and the other. And I found this pilon of tobacco in a corner of a warehouse that's been sitting there for 25 years under a dust pile. You know, all that stuff is, it's BS. The people that blend cigars work in the factories day in, day out. They'll forget more about tobacco than guys like me will ever learn. That's the bottom line.
So you are involved in the blending process, but like you say,
very much so.
Yeah, each individual cigar is kind of its own entity, more or less.
Correct, but like John Huber's not going to tell Jaime Garcia or Ernesto Perez Carrillo, I really think we should use one less leaf of that Ligero and let's try this other, you know. I'm going to tell them the direction that I want in terms of flavor, taste, aroma, you know, structure, that kind of thing. But, you know, they're the scientists. They're the magicians. They're the guys that really deserve all the credit.
You get some new tattoos on your hands?
As a matter of fact, I did.
I saw them. They look nice.
There's one. There's the other.
Yeah. There you go.
My wife and my daughter. I was saving obviously I've got a few here, but I saved the hands for a very special occasion. So I just had those done a couple weeks ago.
That's cool. I didn't realize a tattoo sleeve costs in excess of several thousand dollars.
Oh yeah, depending on who does it.
I had no idea. I thought I was in the wrong. I'm in the wrong business.
Well, I mean, think about it, man. It's almost like cosmetic surgery. You know, it's like you're changing your appearance for the rest of your life. So you better have somebody good doing it. So, you know, I'd rather pay a few $1,000 than to say, oh, I got my sleeve done for $150 wherever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So
I've seen those shows where the tattoos go wrong and the guys go try to fix them. Is that a show called?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to be able to work with basically the same artist on everything, and Dennis Sullivan, and he's a great guy and expert at his craft. He's been doing it for 20 some odd years. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to have a good guy doing that stuff for you.
Here's a question: is that it's kind of like if you have a guy and who is a brand owner or whatever makes cigars, but he doesn't smoke cigars. You probably don't trust him making good cigars. If you go to a tattoo artist and he has no tattoos, do you not trust he knows what he's doing?
Bingo.
So that's if I ever get a wild hair and want to get a tattoo, I want to go find the most tattooed up dude I can find.
Well, you want to have a guy that it's not necessarily, you know, you don't need a guy that's like head to toe, but I mean, obviously he's got to be passionate about his craft, and so chances are he's going to have some tattoos, and hopefully some good ones.
Okay.
You know, but
or do I need to go find the guy who did his tattoos?
It just depends, man. It just depends.
It's like never trust a skinny cook.
Never Something trust like anything that. Made in a bathtub.
Yeah.
I just heard me in a bathtub, and we're gonna move on.
I mean, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, somebody in cigars that doesn't enjoy cigars, that doesn't smoke cigars, that's saying, "Oh, here, try this cigar. It's fantastic."
Or, I can think of several.
I can too, but I'm not going to say them. it's like somebody somebody making wine that doesn't drink. It's like it's ridiculous to me. It just doesn't make any sense. You have to enjoy what you do to be passionate about it, and to be good at something, you have to be passionate about something. So it all goes back to you have to use your product.
Agreed.
That's funny. Take a few, but I'm not gonna mention it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
No, nobody's gonna do that. We're gonna move on. That's. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I got okay. One.
Hold on. I already clicked
another
on
one.
This one. I've already clicked on this one from Anne, so you have to wait. From On. Sorry. It's a question from one of our favorite Chicago beer guys.
Hong Kong.
On wants to. He wants you to rank your favorite Crown Heads blends 1, 2, and 3.
Think wisely, John, about this answer.
Well, I'd have to go with the Buckingham first. Well,
of course. And by the way, did you see the Redux review on Half Wheel? A whole extra point. I mean, hey, I take that as a W.
If Patrick is watching this right now, I would like to see if what I can do to break the mold of the 87 with Patrick would read, because everything that he's rated for us has been like an 87. Oh, now we're up to an 88. I mean everything, dude. I was like, Brooks will rate something, and it'll be like 92, 93. Patrick, 87. 87, 88, 87. So it's like I'm praying that when something comes in the rotation, like, please don't let Patrick rate it, because it's going to be another damn 87. But now
the next one's going to be an 85.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, probably. If I'm lucky, man, as long as I can get out of the 70s, man, I've seen a few 70-somethings in there. And I was like, ooh, God bless. Going back to the original question, that'd be really, really difficult.
Got to do it.
I don't have to do anything, Robbie.
No.
Next question. I'm just kidding.
That's it? We're moving on?
And you know what? If I had to put, you know, I'll tell you why it's difficult. Because not just flavors, but also what they mean to me sentimentally as a person, part of the creation behind it, it's difficult to say this meant more to me than this. So, for instance, Tennessee Waltz, which was really something that was special to me because it was inspired by my grandfather, who had a very, very special part in my life. And it was also something that we gave back to our local retailers that supported us from day one. That's a big one for me, as is Las Calaveras. Las Calaveras, I feel in a lot of different ways, holds a huge place in my heart. So it's very difficult to say I like this, this, and then this. It's hard to rank them. It really is.
Logan, what would your answer be?
For John?
No, just for you. Your favorite Crown Head blends. 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
I mean, the drumstick would be number one for me.
Drumstick is pretty good. I mean, let me say this. I mean, no particular order would be Mule Kick was number one. But yeah. Mule Kick, when it was, but I smoked one about, I don't know, 3 months ago.
Flat.
It flat as hell, man. I'm sorry.
I could have told you that, man. I could have saved you the. But, you know, Mule Kick.
You only made like 500, 1,000 of those cigars, so of course you're going to hold on to them.
We made 5,032 Mule Kick cigars. 5,000 were released. We kept 32 cigars in the office somewhere. But that kind of took on like the Holy Grail kind of thing for us.
It was
where
a cult
people.
Thing.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, man. Even when it was. We just released it. I thought it was a very good blend and a very good cigar, but I didn't think it was all that. I'm like, and I still don't. Even in, if you go back to 2012 when we released it, I never thought, oh, this is a game changer by any stretch of the imagination. There's a ton of other cigars that are better than it. However, I'm happy and grateful for the clamor that it created, but I never thought it was what – I mean, I heard they were like – let me put it this way. That 10-count box had an MSRP of $89.50 when it was released. And then I heard people telling me that they were on eBay and people were selling them for $300, $400 a box.
I've seen it recently. It was like $400 a box.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
No. And nor would I. I wouldn't. I mean, just give me a break.
You bought a box when they first came out, so did I.
I did.
From Jeff over at Riverside.
Riverside Cigar. Let me think. Top blends. I mean, I won't count the Buckingham. But
yeah, you gotta disqualify that.
That one doesn't count. I think the best would be just thinking through all the blends. I mean, Tennessee Waltz was really good, and probably because it was the first time you used broadleaf.
Yes.
The Mule Kick was really, really good. Mm. And I'm gonna say this, and no one smoked it yet, but the Loss, whatever the Waves, because I'm not Spanish.
The Las Mareas.
Whatever the
Las
Waves.
Mareas. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, it's very special, and you guys are getting a little warning here. Las Mareas could potentially be a game changer for us, and everybody comes on the show, and everybody says, I have the best cigar in the world, and, you know, I have the biggest Johnson, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, yeah. But Las Mareas has a flavor that I haven't found in any other cigar on the market. The closest description I can give to you is a vintage Cuban cigar in the 1990s when they were actually really good on performance-enhancing drugs. Because what you have is that vintage Cuban flavor with the added pepine structure and spice and veritas that
it's a Nicaraguan Cuban.
It's a Nicaraguan puro, and all the tobacco is grown by the Garcias. And to me, they grow the best tobaccos, and I'm sure, you know, if you have Pete Johnson on the show, whatever, he'll vouch for that. I mean, there's nobody growing better tobacco than the Garcia family. So we're very fortunate to be able to have that to be shipping this week, actually. So it's arriving at the office tomorrow. But yeah, Las Mareas, man. Great, great smoke.
Now, that's a regular release, or is it limited, or?
Las Mareas is a preview of what will be a 2016 nationwide release at the IPCPR.
Hmm.
So Las Mareas will be our big release next year at the trade show. But just to get – it was ready, and I'm like, let's not hold it back. Let's get some out now. So we're releasing two of the Batolas, 500 boxes of each, 20 counts, so 20,000 total cigars. And sight unseen, they sold out in 3 hours.
Wow.
So – we're shipping them starting tomorrow.
Wow, good for you. That's awesome. Nobody asked me, but I'm going to answer the question. My top three would be Drumstick, then followed by Jericho Hill, in just about any size. And then after that, I'd go with the regular Headley Grange. Those are my three favorites. The Headley Grange, I haven't smoked this in a while. It's such a damn good cigar. It's one of those you just take for granted because it's been around. Like, we talked about this at IPCPR. Your cigars have been around for a while. Haven't been around that long.
4 years.
Just a couple of years.
But 4 years. We started shipping November the 8th, 2011. So we just had our shipping 4-year anniversary.
Oh.
So it feels like we've been around for a long, long time, but we haven't. we're just getting started. And, you know, everything that you release because you think it's great to have it out there. But I always feel like we have yet to do our best work. But we keep getting better and better with everything that we do, I think. And I'm a firm believer in getting better each go around. So, you know, world domination, that's kind of the goal, I suppose.
That's the target.
Let's
set those goals high. That's good. So let's see. Logan, if you want to jump in, you had a question before I cut you off, before that one?
I did. It kind of got cut off. So let me ask. I think it's a question that's burning in people's minds, is that, you know, you had the Lost Calaveras 2014, arguably the best cigar you've ever released, how quickly it sold, the highest reviews that it got, you know, from the general populace. You come out with La Imperiosa, which is the same blend, but everything I see is that it's never about, well, it's a good cigar, it's a bad cigar. It's always, does it taste the same as the Lost Calaveras 2014, or does it not? Mm. I mean, did that thought run through your mind when you were releasing that cigar that you were going to invite that type of questioning versus focusing on the tobacco, or is that exactly what you were going for when you released it?
Honestly, the only thing that I was going for when I released it was to satiate a demand or a request. We kept getting so many requests from retailers. Why can't you make more? Why can't you make more Las Calaveras? It's a great blend. Why can't you make more? Why can't you make more? So, you know, we had registered this mark, La Imperiosa, which means the imperative of that, which is necessary. And I thought this is a perfect opportunity to give people what they've been asking for. What I wasn't prepared for was the backlash that we got, because I thought people would be happy that we were responding to a request when I got nothing but like hate mail, like, oh, my 2014 Las Calaveras Edición Limitada are worthless now. I bought them and now they're not worth anything because you're re-releasing the blend and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, it was, and I was really taken aback. I'm like, I was just trying to, you know, respond to requests and a demand for a particular bunch of tobaccos. And what we got in turn was a lot of people that were grateful and then a lot of people that were like pissed off. I don't know. I'm still kind of scratching my head about it. But, you know, listen, if you compare a Las Calaveras 2014 with La Imperiosa now, which we're going into 2016, it's the same recipe, it's the same tobaccos, it's the same blend. However, it's got obviously different age on it, and it's got different vitolas, which are different proportions of wrapper to binder to filler. So you're not going to have the exact same identical. I mean, these are cigars, they're handmade products, they're not widgets. You can't make something be identical to identical to identical. You try. You know, you work with that particular year's crop, that particular year's harvest, maybe more rain, less rain, soil maybe a little different, more sun, less sun. But the recipe is the same. So, you know, I think La Imperiosa, I believe, stands on its own. I think it's a fantastic cigar, and much credit and accolades all to the Garcia family. So if try it, smoke it. If you like it, fine. If you don't, that's fine too.
But don't email you hate mail.
Dude, seriously, I was shocked.
Like how much? Like how many emails? And I don't mean like angry, like threatening to kill your family angry, but like...
It got to a point. Let me put it to this way. If you look at Half Wheel, for instance.
Yeah, of course.
And when they post a story, usually if you get 2 to 4 comments on that particular story, that's a lot. Most of their stories have 0 or 1 comment on it.
Yep.
When they did the story that we were releasing La Imperiosa based on the Las Calaveras blend, I think it had upwards of 30 comments, the majority of which were very angry. So if that gives you any indication, then, you know, I had to go on different forums and kind of explain our stance, and then I got private emails, and it was more than you would imagine. And it's unfortunate because it was an education for me, because I didn't know that there was this whole secondary market where people buy cigars, sit on them, and then go to sell them and try to make a couple $100. And that's what the stock market is for, right? I mean, it's...
Well, tobacco is a commodity just like everything else.
Really? Cigars are made to be enjoyed. Somebody sends me a cigar, I'm not going to sit on it and label it and say, okay, I'm not going to smoke it until such and such date. Bullshit. Again, you got to bleep that out. I'm going to smoke it and enjoy it today because today is what counts. And I'm not one of these guys that sit and age stuff and rotate my inventory. If you saw in my house, I have a humidor that's as big as a laptop computer. It's got maybe 20 sticks in it.
You don't even smoke your house, though, do you?
I don't smoke in my house. No. But I don't save stuff. I mean, I really very, very rarely save anything. I want it now. I mean, I have a short attention span, so I don't know why people buy cigars to sit on them and then turn around and try. If you're gonna sit on them and age them and smoke them, great. That's God bless you. You have the patience for that. But to sit on them and then with the thought of I'm gonna resell them because they might be worth more in a year, it's ludicrous to me. It's absolutely ridiculous. So whatever, man.
Yeah, to each their own, I guess. With that
first heard on Cigar Chat, John Huber bashes secondary cigar market.
I do. Whatever, man.
But doesn't it make you feel like kind of vindicated and good that your product is worth, has enough intrinsic value and is worth enough where people would want to pay more? Isn't that kind of like a good feeling? Like, I'd be kind of like gratified.
No. Not really. It doesn't make me feel any – I mean – what makes me feel good is when somebody will email or text or social media that they're enjoying it right now. That okay, I'm smoking this cigar, and I'm this particular cigar, you know, I'm smoking it at such and such place, and it really made my day or made my night or whatever. When people enjoy our stuff in the here and now, that makes my day. Not I want to spend three times what these are worth so that I can sell them for five times what they're worth. It's, dude, that don't make me feel good.
I'm smoking this Headley Grange right now, and I am enjoying it. Although I think it's about, I don't know, this came out what 3 years ago.
So yes, this is 2012.
This is probably about 2.5 years old.
Yeah,
maybe older. I got a question here. Logan, you want to chime in? Just a reminder to our audience: you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We're here with John Huber of Crown Heads, and Logan has a very important question.
I do, a very important question. Make sure you stay tuned to the end so you can win some of these glorious prizes. So, John, all of your cigars more or less range from, I think, other than the shots, which that doesn't really count, but in all your core line stuff, you know, anywhere from, say, $7 up to maybe a little over 10. Pretty much. When are you going to come out with the FU money cigar, where you make something that's like $20 a stick?
Hopefully never, man. I mean,
well, that's what you're going to call it if it comes out. It's going to be FU money.
You need to register that mark quickly. That's marketing gold right there.
I bet Robert Caldwell already registered it.
But actually, I think he already did.
He probably did. That's not. You know, the price point of a cigar is never in your mind when you have an idea for a project. You don't go, okay, what can we do that will justify a $20 cigar? That's not how we do it. I mean, we work with, you know, two of the best factories in the world and have – what was that?
Is that the train?
Logan has a train that runs through his backyard or something.
Anyway.
Actually, that's like 3 miles away.
Now, what –
the speaker on your the microphone on your computer is really good.
That was
it's creepy. It's frightening. Yeah.
That was like Close Encounters kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't foresee us doing that. I really don't. I mean, you know, listen, man. Part of the thing with Crown Heads is we've always been very transparent in what we do. We've been very authentic. We like to have a sense of integrity and honesty. And I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, this cigar is twice as good as this cigar. That's why we're charging you $20 for it. I mean, I know where our cigars should be valued at. I don't have any aspirations of coming out with a $20 cigar.
What about 15? There
no,
you go.
No. You know, listen, hey, a lot of it has to do with what is going to happen with these FDA. Chokers, man. You know, if they say everything has to be north of 10 for whatever reason, then you're going to see everybody starting to price everything north of 10. Then all of a sudden, the $15 cigar becomes the $8 cigar of today.
It's true.
So, you know, that being said, yeah, but just to come out with a cigar because it's a $20 cigar, like, you know, next year's our 5-year anniversary, so it's $20. Not, I don't see that happening.
Are you doing a 5th-year anniversary cigar?
Charlie Minato said we were doing a 5th-year cigar. I saw him tweet something. He goes, it's hard to believe that, you know, next year at this time we'll be seeing a 5-year anniversary cigar from Crown Inn. So when he said, I thought it was funny, but when he said that, I kind of thought, well, that's probably a good reason not to do a 5-year cigar.
You could buck the trend. Everyone does one.
Yeah, Wes had a good idea. Wes said, screw it, man. Let's just do a 6-year cigar in 2017 or something. You know, just there's a lot of anniversaries and a lot of birthdays and a lot of this, that, and the other in this business. We've never really kind of done the anniversary kind of cigar. That's never really been something.
Yeah, you haven't really.
That doesn't really float my boat. That's not really inspiring to me. It's kind of stock, pedestrian, kind of been there, done that, done. We can do better than that, man.
What's the best concept you've had for a cigar that you've never done?
The Hideout.
Well, of course. That's, you know.
Yes. Yes.
The Hideout.
I've given so many people good ideas for cigars that they never execute them.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm telling you.
What's the best? Listen, if there was a best concept, it would have happened. You know, good concepts.
The best one, or maybe the worst one you ever had.
Worst concept
ever. Don't say you don't have bad ideas, because we don't want to do that.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to block that stuff out of my mind, I guess. I don't know. I don't know, man. Trying to think. I know I had one not too long ago where I told Connor, I said, remember when I came up with da 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 da? I said, damn, it's a good thing we didn't do that, right? You know? But I can't remember it off the top of my head. I have my phone is like my vault of ideas where I just kind of write stuff in notes. And, you know, it's like stream of consciousness ideas that, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys do this, but, and then I'll go back from time to time and just kind of go through this, scroll through it and say, can I pick this, that, the other sometimes. And that's how it comes about. But like, most of the time, that's not how it comes about.
So okay. I'm going to jump into some more of these audience questions here because we've got a ton of them. This one's from Dave. We touched on this a little bit with Lon Periosa, but Dave's curious about some of the regional blends that you've done. You know, the Yellow Rose, Tennessee Waltz, things like that. He smoked both those cigars. He loved both of them. Are there any thoughts of doing wider releases on those, maybe in a different Vitola or something like that?
Waltz was the originator. Just to clarify, Waltz, Rose, and Paniolo all share the same blend. They're just different sizes of that blend. Waltz started it. Now that was the 5.5x52 for Tennessee only. And then we followed that with, I believe, Paniolo, which is a 5.58-46 of that blend, and then Yellow Rose, which is a 6.25x54 box press torpedo in that blend. So it's all the same, but just different Vitolas. The million-dollar question is, you know, had we released that blend in, you know, Robusto, Toro, and Churchill nationwide, would it be doing as well as it is regionally? And I don't know the answer to that question. I will tell you that Waltz and Rose consistently are like huge workhorses for us. We'll get in a shipment and they'll be gone before we even. I mean, it's constant. We have one retailer that orders between 20 and 30 boxes of Rose a month, which is a lot for one. Yeah, so dead serious. So it's what is it that people want it because they can't have it, or is it because it's hard to get, or is I don't know. But would I do another extension of that blend if it justified it, you know? But, there's no need for it right now. Like, it made sense to do Yellow Rose because, you know, Brian McGee told me that he's got a bunch of retailers in Texas that could do really well, and they've done really well. But, and Paniolo for Hawaii. My brother's in Hawaii, so, but... Is there another state out there that there are huge crown heads? Guy, I don't know. I don't see any right now. But
Montana.
I got one. South Dakota. Really? Wyoming. Wyoming. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
Those big hidden markets.
Arizona has expressed interest, but there's no need for it right now.
Yeah, the Southwest has a pretty good, at least from what I've seen. I mean, I have no numbers to back that up, but
we have good representation, especially in Arizona, because we have a great representative out there, Anthony Cantomo.
You're still using the beard.
Yeah, absolutely. We've gone through our Las Marias, our waves with Fear of the Beard, but Anthony has survived it, and he's he lost his partner.
Gone now?
Not lost his partner. I mean, his parted ways. It's not like he died or anything like that.
So I know that guy was.
Anthony's kind of doing it solo. So, but he does a great job for us. So,
Brandon
Puckett, yeah, no longer. Yeah. Part of the beards.
Is it now Fear the Beard instead of Fear the Beard?
It was always singular.
It was like I thought it was always a double beard because they both.
No, it wasn't Fear the Beards. It was Fear the Beard.
Maybe it should be Fear the Half Beard now.
I don't know. My question is, I wonder if Brandon actually shaved his beard now that he's gone. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
That would take quite a lot to get somebody to shave his beard off like that. Let's see. Scroll through some more of these questions here. This might be an interesting question. This one's from Jason Myers. Jason wants to know, what has been the most surprising positive impact that being in the cigar business has made on your life?
Whew.
Personal question.
God, that's a good one.
Dude went all deep on me.
Oh my goodness.
Wait. Wow. The most positive personal impact. I guess just really being fortunate enough to find something early on in my life where I could be passionate about something that when you find something you love to do, you never work a day in your life. It's just the most overused, saying or cliche, but that's been the biggest blessing that I've received from the cigar business, because I've never felt like, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, man, oh, I got to go to the office. No, it's never, ever, not even for one day. It's always just been a joy to do what I do for a living. So that's the biggest gift that I've received, and the biggest positive impact is for me to be able to share that with other people and say, follow your heart, follow your passion. Don't just punch a time card and do something because you have to do it. Do something that you love to do. And that's what I want to impress upon, my son, my daughter, and, let them know that, life is very short. So you should do something that you love to do, because reality is, listen, we spend more time at work than we do with our families. And so the time is valuable. Make the most of it. So that's kind of my pay it forward thing that I want people to know, that they don't have to just go. I have had the other side of it too, where I've had some of the worst jobs in the world, man. So I can appreciate where I'm at. I mean, I probably said this in the show before, but I was telemarketing in L.A. I was selling indoor tanning products and dog shampoo, Mr. Crystal's dog shampoo. So I had the call sheet, and I'd have to be on the, call X pet store and say, yes, I'm John, da-da-da-da-da. You pretend you're somebody else, or I'm Peter from Mr. Crystal's dog shampoo. We're running a special today on the anti-flea and tick. So I've been there where life was miserable. So finding my soul in cigars and loving it has been the biggest impact in my personal life.
All right, so I'm gonna stay on that the warm and fuzzies. This is,
can I go dark real quick?
Really? Which one second? This I already pressed the button. One's from Jeff Madre, and he wants to know, what do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment since starting Crown Heads? Or maybe the thing that you're most proud of.
The thing I'm most proud of is just being able to go to work tomorrow and have the door open, man. You just kind of take it day by day. What I'm most proud of is, having been able to do this for 4 to 5 years and, be part of a team that created something that people actually enjoy somewhere out there in the wherever you guys are. I'm to start with absolutely nothing. Like Mike and I had zero. We were just like, okay, we got to start all over again. Where do you go? And so you've got to come up with the concept of the company, the philosophy, the structure, you know, the name of the company, this, that, and the other. What are your what's the tripod? Is it integrity, honesty, you know, transparency, authenticity, whatever? That's a big undertaking to create something out of nothing. So I'm very proud of you know, what we, meaning Mike, myself, Adam, Wes, Brian, Steven, you know, the list goes on, what we've accomplished together. And I'm also very happy that I've been able to be part of something that gave other people the opportunity to work in this business. We just hired a guy in Ohio to be our Midwest in-house guy, a young man named Ryan Newman. And he's literally 21 years old. I mean, he looks so young that when he came into the office, Adam said, does he have a driver's license? But I saw in him that same drive and fire and passion and love for the product that I had when I was younger, that I still have. And since I saw that, I was like, that meant a lot to me to be able to give him the opportunity to do what I'm doing now. And you know, we hired him, and to be able to give somebody else that same opportunity, that is probably the best feeling in the world, more so than selling a million cigars or, you know, selling out something in 5 hours or whatever. It means more to me to give opportunities back to other people.
All right. That's a good answer. Logan, you get to talk about it.
Part one first. Is that what has been, everyone's all rosy, what's been your lowest day with Crown Heads?
My lowest day? Probably when I threw a chair at Mike Gondar.
Did you hit him?
Did you hit him?
No, I would never do that. I'm not that bad.
Isn't that funny? Like, neither one of us, we just both kind of assumed you actually did that.
No, I've nothing but love and gratitude for Mike. Mike is a big part of why I'm here. Mike was my boss at CAO. I mean, you know, without Mike, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys. So I have nothing but gratitude and love for Mike. In fact, I mean, it goes beyond a business relationship. I consider Mike a good friend. You know, he's been through it all with me. So the lowest part, I mean, to clarify, I did throw a chair, but it wasn't at Mike. It was like we were just getting started, and there was, you know, creative differences with people, and I'm a big baby, and I can throw a tantrum with the best of them. And I'm kind of an emotional basket case sometimes. So, but that wasn't really a low point. It was just kind of an exercise in stupidity. I haven't really had a low point. Knock on wood. There's never been. I guess my lowest point would be, you know, like a lot of people's highest points, because I'm stoked to do what I'm doing and to be able to go in there every day and work with people that I get on with and that I consider as friends and create something out of nothing. I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, so I haven't had a low point. I'm hoping I don't have one anytime too soon. Getting arrested was, and that might be one. Yeah, getting arrested in our old office and getting hauled out in handcuffs. That kind of sucked. It's a long story. Anyway.
You brought it up.
It's a true story.
Is that why you're no longer in that office?
No. I got out the same day. So.
Okay. We'll talk about that off air, because I kind of want to hear that story.
It's a lot less glamorous than what it sounds. I mean, that was probably the low point. But it went something like this. Like, Mike Condor sent me a text. Hey, the Wilson County police are outside. I'm like, God, quit busting my balls. Sure enough, they came into the office, asked for me, and like, yeah, put your hands behind your back, click, click, da-da-da-da, and I got escorted out in front of, like, all these people. This was, like, I don't know, 3.5, 4 years ago. I look back at it now, we have a good laugh, because what was really funny was I was in this jail, and you have one phone call to make. And so I'm like, I'm calling my girlfriend, who's now my wife, but she was my girlfriend at the time. And Laura wouldn't answer the phone. And I kept going to voicemail, like, shh, I got to get somebody. And I kept making it, and I kept making it, and I kept calling Mike. And Mike and Laura were the only two numbers I knew. And so finally Mike found out what was going on. He sends a town car limo to pick me up from jail. But and in the meantime, actually, I got a hold of my parents, and they came and picked me up and gave me a ride back to the office. So I went back to the office and had a good laugh about it. So
Okay. I'll save my follow-up question for off-air. here's a question. You've been wildly successful. You haven't had a low point. I mean, since Crown Head's inception, every year you sell more cigars than the last, and I don't think a lot of guys that have been around for 4 years can say the same thing. And do you think you would have been as successful as you are not working at CAO prior to Crown Heads?
No. And the reason why I say that is because the time at CAO, I've always referred to it as like my undergrad degree, where I learned the business on the job training kind of a thing. But more importantly than that, I was able to establish relationships in the business because of my time at CAO. And I don't feel like I had a name from CAO that I parlayed into. I'm not, you know, I look at guys like Steve Sacco or Nicholas Melillo who were with Drew Estate. They really are able to parlay their name. I didn't have that kind of cachet. All I had was the relationships. I had, you know, a business partner, and I had some on-the-job training to learn that I learned a lot. But nobody knew who John Huber with CAO really was unless you were really, really into it. I wasn't like what Nicholas was or what Steve was with Drew Estate. So, I mean, it was just a good stepping stone, a good experience, and one I'm grateful for and enjoyed the time and have a lot of fond memories of.
Logan out.
How much time do we have left?
Let me look.
We're getting pretty close to it. 5 or 6 minutes.
What cigar are you smoking, Joe, when you're not smoking your own stuff? We have 5 minutes.
I smoke a lot of Pete stuff. My father, yeah. You know, even though we all kind of share the same bales and whatnot, I'm big fans. I like what Kyle is doing at Warped. I like what Skip's doing at Roma Craft. So I enjoy those cigars. La Colmena, Robbie was the one that turned me on to La Colmena 2 or 3 years ago. Really, to me, was great because it was had such a different flavor profile, which is why I like Las Marías so much, because it doesn't taste like anything else. And La Colmena, when it came out, didn't taste like anything else. So those things are interesting to me. And then just pretty much, you know, whatever, you know, Wes will bring from the road, here, try this, smoke this, or I'll ask him to buy this, buy that. But I don't have one single favorite non-Crown Heads brand that I would keep going to over and over. I like to cast a wide net, you know. In fact, pardon?
Research.
It's more than research for me. It's more just enjoying what's out there, because there is a lot of good stuff out there. It's a great time to be a cigar enthusiast, I think, because there are a lot of great brands and blends and, you know, Dion stuff too, Lucien. I like his stuff too.
Let me ask you this. This is a good question. This is a genius question. You and Pete make cigars, you know, at my father. Use a lot of the same tobacco.
We both have tattoos.
We both
lived in L.A.
I mean, there's a lot of basically twinsies. But I think when you smoke a Crown of the Heads, it tastes different than a Tatuaje, and I don't know why. But even though you guys are sharing tobacco, I mean, if somebody's never smoked either, how would you describe a Tatuaje cigar versus a Crown of the Heads? Great question.
It is a good question, but you have to be more specific and say, compare like Tatuaje Brown Label with Crown of the Heads Jericho Hill, or Tatuaje, you know, Kabai Wan with Mason Dixon South 2014. You know, you got to be more specific than that. But I think Pete's stuff has just a ton of structure, man, which I really, really love. He's able to get not only that core and that structure and that heavy sound to his cigar, for lack of a better descriptive, but he's also able to balance it. And he'll sneak in a different flavor that you weren't expecting, like with Letelier. I'm a huge fan of that particular cigar. Has such a distinctive flavor to it, and I know it's because he's using certain tobaccos that we're not using it right now, and you can taste the difference. Pete's the top of his game, man. He's I've always looked up to him. When he first came out with Tatoi in 2003, I remember vividly. It was at the RTDA, which is what the IPCPR used to be called, and it was in Nashville. And I had known Pete for 7 years by that point, and he had a plain cab with unbanded cigars, and he's walking around handing out cigars to his friends. And I said, "What is this?" And he says, "It's my cigar. This is Tatoi." And the minute I smoked it, I was like, "This literally is a game changer." And you look back at it, and it's easy to say that at that time, but it really was. I mean, there's no person or brand or blend that changed what we now call boutique cigars as much as what Pete and Tatoi did. If there was no Pete and Tatoi, there would have been no Dion, there would have been no John Huber, there would have been no Nicholas Malillo, there would have been none of those guys. He really changed the face of cigars. And if you think about it, he came out with an $8 to $12 cigar, which is a high price point at that time, an impossible name to pronounce, very understated packaging, no advertising, all word of mouth, and the thing took off. That, to me, changed the game forever, and still is.
All right.
Good enough. Logan, we got time for one more question?
Yeah.
A lot of people in the audience have been asking about samplers. You did the...
have to be quick. 40 seconds.
You did the six-shooter.
We have 40 seconds?
So we got to be real quick. Any thoughts on expanding on the six-shooter sampler?
No. Is that quick enough for you?
Yeah, perfect.
You should put all your other cigars and call it the Blunderbuss, just like this huge deck gun they used back when they sailed ships. And it could be like all three of them, plus Jericho Hill, plus La Imperiosa, and the Waves, the Blunderbuss.
And the Waves.
It sounds good. Okay, one more question from Robert Mallory. He wants to know if you're going to work with Broadleaf again, a rapper, Broadleaf Rappers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man. Absolutely.
There's a lot of space to be explored there. 2016, Las Calaveras, we're working with Broadleaf. So that's a little teaser.
There you go. Well, that's good. I'm glad we got that last question in. John, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. Everybody listening on the Armed Forces Radio.
Cheers, man.
We've got some giveaways. Email rob@cigarfederation.com. And let me know where you're stationed and how I can get some cigars to you.
Hey, can I just throw something there real quick?
Yep.
For everybody listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, for me, my family, everybody at Crown Heads, for your service, what you're doing. You guys are the real heroes. We're just a bunch of chumps selling cigars. So thank you. Appreciate everything you all are doing.
Absolutely. On that note, we'll be back next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at cigarfederation.com. Everybody have a great week and stay safe.
Cheers.
And
did you drop off? He dropped? John, did you drop off?
You dumbass.
I explained everything before we did this, didn't I?
Did we not?
I did. Well, that's all right.
It's just me and you chat. So what do you really think about John Huber?
I want to know what he got arrested for.
God, I know. I want to know, too.
That's a bummer that he dropped off.
I think
it's, he's still there. John, can you hear us?
I can't. No, I can't, actually. Hold on.
Yeah, you just said you could.
Hold up.
I said you were a smut peddler.
That'd be a good name for a cigar.
Life is texting me.
Oh, that's.
I gotta go.
You're leaving?
How do I get out of here, though? I gotta go. My wife's texting me. I gotta take care of the baby.
Turn off your phone.
Hang up.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
All right.
See you. Right. Tell AJ I said hello. Bye bye.
I will. Thank you guys.
All right. So John Huber is a smoke peddler.
Oh, I love awkward endings. He had no idea that's still going to live on the podcast.
I hope it does forever.
So I picked a few winners.
Okay, let's just talk about this real quick. Let's just talk about this. Let me do my math here. Hold on a second.
We have a ton of things to give away. We got a ton of La Imperiosas. We've got some samplers. I think you're giving away one or two of those on the site right now. So
I'm giving away. Yeah.
We've got a Crown Head sweatshirt.
Just hold the fuck up.
And we've got a couple of hats.
We got hats. And then we've got, I think, you know what I'm doing? I'm mixing it up the game a little bit.
You're going to change the game forever, like Pete?
I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
So yeah, what I want, let me just do my count here. Just 1 second.
While you're counting, I just want to mention again, the freaking Headley Grange is such a good cigar.
I know, but that's the problem with all these fucking people, man, is like, and if John was here, I'd tell him this too. It's part of the culture. It's like you build a brand to last, but you build a brand to last a year. And I would love to see the data of companies who release a cigar every year, which I'm not saying it's bad. It's a good thing. But then if you looked at the four kicks, I guarantee you, like, year one, it was like this. Year two, it probably went up. And then down, it's been like a slow trickle.
There was like, someone actually asked a question, and I can't remember who that was. They're kind of bastardizing your own customer base was the concept of what he was asking. And really, I mean, it's funny. We actually talked about that.
Can we kick Kruk off the chat?
Why?
Oh, he's just making snide remarks.
He's just having a good time. I like Kruk. I was going to make a point.
You were saying the question.
Well, yeah, we were. Dion actually talked about that at IPCPR because this year he didn't do a new blend. He just a new size. He did a line extension in his cigar that he released last year, which was wildly successful. And he talked about letting an actual brand get a foothold in the industry. And actually, John kind of does that in an interesting way, where he'll release the cigar, and then like right now he's releasing these different iterations of four kicks. Yeah, he's got the Lancero that's out and this belt buckle thing. So in a way he's revitalizing that particular brand because someone's going to see
too, right?
What's
like,
that?
With all the limited editions, meaning like four kicks, then, yeah. You know, mule kick, you know.
Yeah. And it's, he does the same thing with, you know, the 12 angry or whatever.
The
Lancero of Jericho Hill.
So Jesus cigar.
It is an interesting concept that nobody else really seems to be doing, unless, or at least I don't think about it this way. They come out with multiple new cigars every year, you know, regional stuff and a new line or what have you. But then there's still attention paid to their previous lines with new sizes, exclusive iterations at different places. So, I don't know. I would be curious. I did want to ask him what his best-selling cigar was on a regular basis. You know, their best-selling maybe core line.
I'm curious to see how stuff is doing at, you know, from EPC versus my father. Because they haven't really done a cigar from there in 3 years.
Yeah, what was the last?
J.D. Howard, which no one talks about.
I liked that cigar. I almost smoked that tonight. And I have the single.
I'm surprised you didn't say that because I was thinking you would have said that for your top three.
The Jericho Hill surpassed.
It's a great cigar.
Yeah, I need to get some more of those actually. I haven't smoked the Lancero yet though. I have a couple.
It's pretty good.
I'm gonna review it because no one's reviewed it on our site yet.
It's enjoyable.
I think in a way, I think he is kind of revitalizing those brands like we talked about. They've only been around for a few years.
Yep,
but exactly. It seems like it was ages ago that that Four Kicks came out, and that's still
dare
a good cigar.
Dare I say?
No.
Dare I say?
No, don't say that.
Dude, that's never mind.
Yeah, move on. You don't need to make comments.
You just made a way bigger deal out of it than it should have been.
We'll move on.
You should have just laughed and then moved on.
No, we'll move on. So anyway, get back to the winners. We've got. How many people are we picking? I picked...
Well, hold on. Before you start just picking people, let me get out my pen so I can make sure I get them something. So who are your pickers?
I picked... Steve Christopher asked a question that I wanted to ask, but we didn't get to it.
Okay.
I picked Tripp because he asked a bunch of questions that we didn't get to. I picked On because he asked...
How many are you going to pick there, son?
I picked four. He asked a ton of questions, and I only got into one of them. But On would fall into the category of the people that that collect cigars and sits on them for a while. He doesn't sell them, but
no, he does a little bit.
He's a collector though. He's more of a barter guy. He works those into trades and stuff. Robert Mallory, and he asked about the broadleaf. So those are the winners that I picked.
Okay, and who was the other one?
Robert Mallory.
Okay.
So Steve, Tripp, Han, and Robert.
Okay. So those people need to email me, Logan Cigar Federation, your full name, address, crowned heads in the subject line. And then outside of those, the next 10 people outside of that will win something too. So giving away an absolute shizer ton of crap.
Yeah, we've got a ton. And somebody, somebody's going to open up their box and they're going to get a sweatshirt.
I'm not playing the game where you're getting this, you're getting that. You're going to win something, but I'm not going to tell you what you're going to win. You're going to have something show up at your front doorstep.
And it might just be a picture of Logan saying you didn't win shit.
I'm going to do that because that would be
– I think that's pretty awesome.
Pretty fucking awesome. And it's got to be a sticker too.
Oh, absolutely.
That way they can put on their humidor of me just going, fuck you.
Yeah, basically. So because we think so much of our audience, we care about you guys. We give away a ton of cigars. I think we can drop an F-bomb every now and again, right? Does anybody give away more cigars than us?
I've looked. No.
I mean, is that physically possible?
I'm going to tally up. Me and Robert were talking about this before the show. Is I'm going to tally up at the end of the year to see how much I've spent on just shipping. And I've got to think that – I'm just guessing – but I'm thinking that the shipping costs, and I'm not talking about Project Mignon. I'm talking about just Cigar Chat, Pipe Dummy type winnings in excess of at least $1,500 to $2,000.
Probably more than that.
And then cigars given away, I've got to think well into the $1,000 to $2,000 range.
Well, we have at least 60 per show.
Typically, yeah.
You know, with our we'll pick some podcast winners too, right?
I don't really care about those people.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of podcast or listeners.
All right, well, you just deal with them. That's the thing I don't like with podcasts because I package all the stuff up and want to ship it out tonight.
Well, hold back a few. You're going to hold back a few boxes for AFRN listeners and hold back a few for
podcast one.
Hold back 3 to 4 altogether. So podcast listeners, email Rob at Cigar Federation. You guys know the drill. All your pertinent information. And we'll pick a couple of winners. I'll email the winners directly, which like I always do. On that note, who do we have next week? We've got the next few shows. We've got some folks from General Cigar coming on.
No, we have like a Frog Splash.
We've got Michael G next week. And then we're back on Thursday next week, by the way, so December 10th. We've got Sam Lucia on the 17th. And then Rick Rodriguez and Ed McKenna on the 22nd. And the 29th, we're going to do our annual year in review show, which I haven't asked anybody to be on yet, but hopefully we'll get the same guys. Coop will come on and somebody from Blind Man's Puff, and we'll reach out to some of the other blogs and see if we can get some new faces to come on the show and just kind of talk about this year in general. And then we move into January and it's cold.
Yeah, cold as balls.
Yeah, it does get cold. So I think we should wrap this up because I've got work to do. I have to pee.
And then your balls are cold.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Should I pick Kruk as the winner?
Huh?
I would say if I had those stickers made, Kruk, you'd get a whole gaggle of
I need to talk to Kruk about getting one of those Oro Vivo cigars, the ones that Victor made for the European market. I've never smoked it. And
I'm
he
sure
always talks
about it. If you have a good relationship with Victor, you could just go ask.
I don't think Victor has it.
I'm sure he could squirrel it.
Yeah, dude, I'll have to figure it out. But I do want to get my hands on one of those, even though that's not what this show's about. But anyway, on that note, yeah, he's got 6 boxes of them. So, Kruk and I are going to do some trading. Anyway, on that, Logan, any words of wisdom before we go?
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to have your pet spayed or neutered. I'm Bob Barker.
Is he still alive?
I think he died.
Yeah, I don't think Bob Barker's with us anymore.
He died with all those hot bitches around him. Like, he's the undercover Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, you know, when you start talking about game shows, you ever watch the show that was about the movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
I don't believe so.
It was about the guy who was the match. Was it Dating Game or whatever that show was that he created? But then he said that he was like this undercover CIA spy, Yeah, he swears this is a total true story. The movie's actually pretty good.
The TV show I've been watching now is Hannibal.
No, it's a movie, and it came out like 10 years ago. Sam Rockwell's in it. And
I was probably like 4.
Yeah, you should check it out. That was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the guy's name, but I think it was The Dating Game was the show that he did. I don't know. So I'm sure somebody in the chat room knows. But anyway, on that note, we're just dragging on. So we'll wrap it up. Everybody have a good week. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And we will be back next week with Michael G. See if we can break the internet again.
Break the interwebs.
All right, guys. Everybody take care. We'll see you next week.
Bye, people.